Today we're going to give our time to defining what it is to fear God. We have moved into that section as a result of our time spent on reasons to fear God. Why should we? And having covered several obvious reasons, we are now going to deal more with the actual definition of and how it is to be put into practice. Ligonier Ministries have for some time now use the two words coram Deo, Latin words C-O-C-O-R-A-M, coram Deo. A literal translation of those two words would be in the face of God, meaning God's presence. Now, that can be expanded and include, as they do in their use of it, that we live our life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, and to the glory of God. I use those two words, coram Deo, in my correspondence many times with the prisoners or text messages, because if there's an understanding, and there seems to be a general understanding of those two words with the people I correspond with. But it's a nice way of reminding yourself and others of the very essence of the fear of God, which includes His presence, His authority, and His glory. Those three words, presence, authority, and glory, capture the very essence of living in the fear of God. So concerning now the omnipresence of God, turn with me to Psalm 139 and verse 7. Where can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. Well, sobering words when it comes to the omnipresence of God. And so, we're seeking to live in His presence. Well, we are living in His presence at all times, 24/7, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can never be out of the presence of God. So what do we mean by living in the presence of God? Well, first of all, just what I've said, we are doing that. The problem is being aware of it. We have so much going on and to detract our attention. And how many times are you aware during the day, from time you get up and till you go to bed, how many times are you consciously thinking of, or you are aware of, God's actual presence? That you're in His presence at that very moment. And that's the thing we want to cultivate, is more, giving more conscious thought. Whether you're driving down this highway, whether you're at work, whether you are brushing your teeth or whatever, think about it. I'm in the presence of God. You can never be where He is not. We've made this point, we'll make it again. Any thought that God is not omnipresent is nothing less than practical atheism. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, the perceived presence of accountability affects behavior. Let me repeat that. I used that a few days ago in the text that I sent out, the line of defense. The perceived presence of accountability affects behavior. We have many examples of it. Joseph was aware of the pervasive presence of God, perceived accountability, because he said, "How can I do this thing and sin against God?" There was the soul-gripping perception that if he did it, he would be accountable. He would be sinning against God. And it stopped him in his tracks. He said, "I can't do this." He ended up in prison, but without a guilty conscience. So we have the key ingredient, the first key ingredient of the definition of coram Deo. Live all of life in the conscious awareness of, and I'm going to give another word here, pervasive presence of God. What does pervasive mean? Did you ever get trapped on an elevator with somebody that was wearing cheap perfume? That cheap perfume is usually very pervasive, not only in the elevator, but down the hall. It fills the air. Well, when we say the pervasive presence of God, we just simply mean we're not talking about just sort of everywhere. It is everywhere, but it is noticeable. It gets your attention. Pervasive means existing in or spreading through every part. We need to be aware of God's presence. The second part of our definition of coram Deo, the fear of God, is to live all of your life under the authority of God. You are at any given time a man under authority. I was impressed upon me in my service time with the Bureau. If anything was very evident, it was you are a man under authority. In fact, in those days, cell phones were not known to the public or even existed, I suppose. So what was one of the rules? If you were going to take a vacation, you had to plan it out and define it, and down to the highway, to the motels you're going to be staying in, and call in every 3 hours, I think, from a payphone or somewhere you had to make contact with the office. They wanted their hand on you, not because they didn't trust you, but because they might need you. And I think Hoover boasted that he can put his hand on any agent within 3 hours. Something to that effect. But what did that make me aware of? That I'm under authority. And my vacation is not really my own. Time off, not my own. So we have different responsibilities in our life. But being under authority is part of Coram Deo. It's part of living your life in the face of God. I could add, too, under the authority of God and the law of God. And there's a reason why we should be even teaching our children the Ten Commandments as they're growing up. To give them an early awareness of the fact God has this authority, and it's expressed in the law that He has given us. An awareness. There are different levels of authority. There's city, county, state, federal. God has ordained civil authority. Turn with me to Romans 13. Romans 13, beginning with verse 1. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to do to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon all who practice evil. It is astounding and it is fearful to see in our day the rebellion that there is against authority. All authority. Here's just a little observation. I think we made this observation when we did the Reformation of the Family. If children are allowed to grow up rejecting the authority of their parents, the next level of authority is the school. And if they get by resisting authority at school, the next level of authority will be your law enforcement, your police, your state patrol, your federal agents. The higher the level of authority, then, the more fierce will be the rebellion. You ratchet up the authority to a higher level, it's going to squeeze and cause more rebellion, even to a higher level. The highest level of authority is that of God. And so when parents begin to let their children get by with having their little temper tantrums, it's not cute, it's not something that will go away. It will only get worse. But what about us? How many times do we think about God's authority in our life? We should think of it often. We should be aware of His authority, of His presence, and particularly His authority as has been expressed in the moral law. God is our creator, and as we have seen, our owner. God occupies the highest authority in our life. Joseph, again, I use, how can I do this thing? What's on his mind? And sin against God. Joseph was very mindful of and fearful of God's authority. We must constantly live, be consciously aware of, and submissive to God's supreme authority. The third essential ingredient of Coram Deo is to live our life to the glory of God. Even our most menial tasks are to be done to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I like Paul Washer's quote, when was the last time you drank a glass of water to the glory of God? And that's not taking it too far. That's not ridiculous. We can be consciously aware even of when we sit down to a meal and we pray. There should be that recognition that my life is to be to the glory of God. Even my menial tasks are to glorify Him. What is the chief and highest end of man? There you go. You got it. Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. The supreme goal of our life. Turn with me to Romans 11:36. I think most of you probably know that. That's my life verse. Romans 11:36. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. You see those prepositions? From, through, and to. Three prepositions. There is more theology in those three prepositions than you will ever master in a lifetime. But it has to do with the glory of God. Summarized through, from, through, and to. Here's a quote from Ligonier Ministries. So just listen. But how do we glorify God? Calvin writes, God has prescribed for us a way in which he will be glorified by us. Namely, piety, which consists in the obedience of his word. He that exceeds these bounds does not go about to honor God, but rather to dishonor him. Obedience to God's word means taking refuge in Christ for forgiveness of our sins, knowing him through the scriptures, serving him with a loving heart, doing good works in gratitude for his goodness, and exercising self-denial to the point of loving our enemies. And then they summarize with these words. This response involves total surrender to God himself, his word, and his will. Pastor Al Martin says to fear God is to live constantly aware of my constraining obligations to him. Let me repeat that. To fear God and thus to glorify him is to live constantly aware of my constraining obligations to him. Do you know what they are? More than likely you do. Let me remind you. Al Martin lists three. Love him supremely. Obey him implicitly. Trust him completely. Those are my constraining obligations to God. Love, obey, trust. But what are the words we've used to modify that? For love, supremely. Obey, implicitly. Trust completely. The Bible clearly teaches that we are accountable to God. Romans 14:12 says, so then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. Accountability, like you have never known accountability on any job you've ever had or any school you've ever attended. Think of being accountable to God himself. That's being accountable to God the Creator, God the owner of all things. Again, live in the expectancy of accountability. Now, turn with me to Psalm 25. In verses 12 through 14. Because I want to point out to you there are benefits to fearing God. Psalm 25, beginning with verse 12. Correct me if I'm just typed, just put these at the end of my notes here. I think I have it correct. Verse 12 begins with, who is the man? Okay. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Who is he? David says, he will instruct him in the way he should choose. Do you need help making decisions? Sometimes life changing decisions. It's one of the side benefits of fearing God. God will instruct you in the way you should choose. He goes on here. His soul will abide in prosperity. His descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who, what? Fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. Quite a list of what I would call benefits that come to us as a result of a right and proper fear of God. There are many others, but I just happened to think about these the other day, where David said, who is the man that fears the Lord? And then he gives you a list of various benefits that come into your life by way of God, by way of his word, by way of prayer, by way of worship, by way of sovereign, providential dealings in your life. God knows how to close doors. God knows how to open doors. And that many times is the way he directs us in the way we should go and the way we should choose. I wonder how many times in your life and times in my lifetime that God has kept us from making wrong decisions or directed us through a providence into making the right choice in a certain matter that we're faced with. Coram Deo. It's a good word. Good words. And let's keep them in our mind. And let's use them in our correspondence when we can. Doesn't hurt to add Coram Deo. And if they don't know, maybe they'll Google it. They'll find out, because it's on Google as to what it means. But just another way of saying, hey, think about the Lord here. And may we fear God as we ought. And reap the benefits. Okay, let's pray. Father, we ask now that you will use these truths to encourage us and to benefit us this day as we seek to glorify you in our life. May we be aware of your presence at all times. May we live under your authority. May we live as those who, yes, one day will give an account. We pray and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.